Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 90 is once again being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals in the metro Atlanta area caring for your family pet. You like how I added that in?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, once again, we are broadcasting late Sunday morning, last Sunday of 2020. Yes?
Yes.
But we are in beautiful, clear skied, sunny and cold Lawrenceville, Georgia. So as I just said, yeah, this is episode 90, last one of the year. In lieu of that fact, instead of a word of the week, let's go ahead and knock out the word of the year, which actually I came up with two.
Which we've talked about before.
Yep. So coronavirus, right? That seems to pretty much be dominating everybody's daily thoughts in your face still. And so corona, Latin root means crown. And when you look at pictures of the virus, you see this round ball with all these little spike thingies coming out like a crown. So hence the name coronavirus. And then the second word of the year, is mitigate. And I don't know, I found it so interesting. I had never used that word. I don't even know if I'd ever heard it before Dr. Fauci and Birx came out with their news conferences on corona. But within 2 weeks, everybody used it like they used it in everyday language.
And their whole life, yeah.
I can remember you on the podcast. Oh, well, you know, they say in order to mitigate this, we need to blah, 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 blah. And just like you just, you know.
Well, are you making fun of me now?
Yeah, well, not you per se, but everybody. It just became a very
popular buzzword
to use. Mm-hmm. And, you know, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to do this so that I can mitigate the outcome, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, definition of mitigate, my definition, it is kind of an action verb, and it is to cause something to be less painful, less severe, less harsh. And so they were talking about mitigating the number of deaths and, I guess, bad outcome from coronavirus.
I think back in March, they were talking about mitigating the duration of which.
So, but, 14 days to slow the spread? That's where
that
this
was
whole
the original,
thing started.
Yeah.
And that was the coronavirus task force, not just one individual.
Correct.
That was a task force, and they felt like we could do all these things, and in 14 days, the cases were going to go down, and everything was going to be good. And so, I will grant that we had a huge number of deaths. We talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
Due to coronavirus, evidently, early on, and we did really, really slow the number of deaths. But to the date of this recording, we still have not been able to
mitigate
the virus itself or keep it from spreading. I think we've kind of sheltered in place. We've somewhat hid from it. We've done some good things, but
so
that
in fact,
is not going to make it go away.
In other countries, it's been reported that they're seeing mutations. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
So in the UK, there's apparently mutations. And then in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, I read this morning, there's a mutation. I don't know if the one in UK and Rio are the same. So the thing is
what's the clinical effect of that?
So the thing that I'm reading is that it is no more serious, according to the sources I've read, but it just seems to be a little bit more contagious.
Okay.
So I don't really know exactly what that means, but I do think it's interesting. So to your point, at this point in the year, 10 months later, we've not been able to quote unquote mitigate the virus. We, you know, it's going to consistently change. This is how viruses work,
yeah,
right?
It's going to mutate. It's going to spread from one individual to another. Again, kind of the interesting thing, like some of the flu viruses, is crossing the species lines.
So I think it's important real quick just to mention that while we call COVID-19 a coronavirus, it is not the only coronavirus that we've ever seen. We see coronaviruses in dogs and cats. We see other coronaviruses in humans.
Yeah.
So I feel like this year, like COVID-19 has basically dominated coronavirus, but it's just a classification of the type of virus.
So that's a good point, right? Coronavirus does not equal death, horrible pandemic every time you come across it. This particular SARS coronavirus 2, right, is quite special, not in a good way. And so, yeah, and you and I have talked on and off the podcast again about the immediate dissemination of information is good, but it's also a problem.
Of course.
We talked about it, I think, last week with the vaccine reaction, the one lady in Alaska, and it's on the front page of Yahoo News,
yep,
like the day after, and yeah, it scares people to death.
Yeah.
But this has been going on forever, and so I do think the same thing.
But likewise,
somewhat related to COVID-19.
I do think that there are some good things that happen too with that instant information. I think I shared with you that people on social media who are, you know, friends or friends of friends who are sharing that they're in the human health force and they're getting vaccinated, they have their vaccine cards and all this other stuff. I mean, the fact that they're in the health field and they're getting the vaccine and they're putting a positive light on it is also good, right? So it's like hopefully somewhat mitigates the fear that some news media outlets are creating, and the real people who are getting the vaccine are, you know, they're kind of equalizing it out, hopefully.
Yeah, everybody's got a different opinion pretty much every day in life on every subject, I would think. But this is certainly the same with Corona and COVID. So I hear, you know, various aged people from, you know, young adult, or really teenager, young adult, all the way to senior citizen type, and they're all over the place. Like, there's no way in the world I'll take quote unquote take the vaccine. Well, you're not going to take it. You're going to be administered the vaccine.
Yeah.
But you know, people are scared to get it. People are scared not to get it.
Of course.
Such is life. So yeah, you know, I am just I never thought this would happen for this long. And now my new projection is at least 6 months from now, get into the summer, and maybe things will ease up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
More people are vaccinated. You know, we're going to continue to see the ebb and flow of the number of cases. Hopefully the death number continues to stay really low at this point moving forward. But, you know, I'm ready to put 2020 in hindsight.
Of course, yeah. So, many people are. I do hope, and maybe I'm naive in the sense that I feel like we all keep talking about that, you know, but from the 31st to the 1st, we're still going to be living in the same world. It's the same life. And so I don't really think that there's a whole lot going to change, but I do think among the year of 2021, things will be different.
Yeah.
At least I'm hopeful for it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a birthday, right? When you hit your birthday day, you really
day
don't
before,
feel any different
after
than you did the day before.
Yeah, of course.
So, all right. So, you know, I guess that's maybe a bit of a transition into one of the stories that I was just going to, a couple of stories, actually. Believe it or not, our stories are dominated by COVID discussion.
Of course, all year long.
So a couple stories out of the AVMA Smart Brief, which we have talked about in the past. That's one of our main sources for news stories. COVID-19 vaccine for animals. And so we discussed recently that Zoetis, right when this whole COVID-19 thing happened and became, you know, I guess common public knowledge, Zoetis had a patient-side test for dogs and cats to test for coronavirus, but
yes,
completely clinically useless, because still to this day, we don't really appreciate that dogs or cats get coronavirus. We feel like, based on historical reports, that they can get exposed, they may test positive, but they do not get clinical disease. Is that correct? Is that your understanding?
I mean, that's my understanding for sure.
Okay.
I do think that, you know, there are some big cats and that kind of thing that have had clinical signs. There's maybe, you know, some random, very rare domestic animals that have had signs and have been tested positive, but it is not something that we see commonly.
Yeah, and we've not seen a case through any of our practices that we were even suspicious of.
Right.
So I guess the interesting thing here is Zoetis, again, is working on a vaccine. So for some reason, Pfizer and Zoetis seem to be at the forefront of getting vaccines approved or conditionally approved, more so than other companies that we deal with. Would you agree?
I would agree. And so again, we talked about it on the last podcast, but Pfizer is the human health aspect of, mm-hmm, of that company, and Zoetis is the animal health aspect.
Correct. They separated a few years ago. And mm-hmm, so you know, the story just reads that, again, dogs and cats, what I just said, you know, we don't really see the need to vaccinate them at this point.
Well, it's saying, yeah, that they're not playing a very significant role in the pandemic.
But mink and other small lab animals, mice, rats, they're working on the vaccine to see if it would be effective. And we have talked about the mink population in the U.S. and also overseas, and how many mink farms have been depopulated.
Well, not so much the mink, which the story does talk about mink, but it also talks about something I've never even considered, but like the apes in the wild and in sanctuaries. So
definitely that was the interesting little part of the story to me as well.
Clearly, and I am not a scientist, I'm not scientific, but there have been proven relations, right, between like apes and how similar they are to the human. Mm-hmm.
Well, primates, so, right? So yeah,
exactly. So,
but I've not heard of any primate getting
exactly me
COVID-19.
Either. But the reason that they're looking at this so much is that they're concerned about these apes in the wild.
So not necessarily zoos or other.
Well, they're worried about the sanctuaries as well, yeah, and the zoos. But essentially, you know, I never even considered it. Of course, why wouldn't, you know, yeah, the animals in the wild, if there's a virus going around, why wouldn't they be affected? They absolutely would be. It took me 10 months in this very moment to think about that.
Yeah. So I thought that was a very interesting spin. Just makes you kind of go, that could definitely happen.
Yeah. But to your point, they're developing a vaccine. They're looking for it for mink and some of those other things. Some of the black-footed ferrets that are endangered.
Black-footed ferrets.
Black-footed
ferrets. Where did that come from? Article.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely like a species that they're trying to protect. So apparently they're working on these, they're testing them and approving them and making them sure that they're effective in some smaller hamsters, mice, that kind of thing. And it may be modified to protect pets, but right now that's not their main goal.
Okay. Very cool, though. So that's going to continue to evolve, I would think, quite rapidly and maybe start dominating a little more of the top news stories. I guess kind of along the lines of our Healthy Pet, Happy Life segment that we try to throw in, which again is, I'm going to probably butcher this like I always do, but our thought is if you as a client, pet owner, have a healthy pet, not only are you going to, you're going to be happier when your pet is healthy and happy. So bottom line, get the wellness care done, get any sickness care, you know, taken care of as needed. But we try to promote keeping your pet happy and healthy, because that will keep you probably healthy and happy as well.
Both. Absolutely.
So, I guess where I was going with this is the top news story from the AVMA was, an article that said, you know, vets seek patience from clients. And so we've talked about this, we've experienced this whenever COVID-19 hit and, you know, we kind of went under lockdown as a state and became an essential service. Our world got turned upside down a little bit. We went completely curbside. We started using telemedicine. We were on the phone more. We were doing consultations over video, trying to show pictures and marking it up with clients. And we have had to evolve quite rapidly. And some clinics probably evolve more rapidly than others. You and I have talked about some of the consultants in our industry who are now coming out with these webinars, how to survive coronavirus. This is how you practice, right, curbside medicine. And we're like, well, we figured this out back in March. So
of course,
why are you just not figuring it out and you know, and teaching the world? For us, it was quite, I guess, common sense. And we wanted to look at some efficiencies and we wanted to really take care of our clients. And so, you know, this story says the vet asks clients to be patient during these times.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that, but I don't agree with that.
So I'm glad that you and I are on the same page, because I really wasn't sure where you were going to go with this when you first started. But
so, yeah, where I'm going is,
I agree and disagree as well.
COVID,
and we'll talk through it.
Yes, has, again, it's changed the way we do things, but our clients and our patients shouldn't have to suffer, meaning not having the care available that we shut, you know, did we shut down for 2 weeks, 2 months because we were scared and we felt like that was the best thing to do? No, we wanted to be available for our patients. Did we inconvenience our clients? Yes, a little bit, but not to the point, hopefully, of aggravation and us having to apologize for their wait. And so that's exactly where I'm going. You know, when faced with adversity, don't use an excuse as to why you can't perform as you should. Try to step up and innovate and act like nothing's wrong. Let's just try to make things as seamless as possible. Where this relates back on the client side to the Healthy Pet Happy Life is we have seen, well, we're going to have to run the numbers. We have seen probably a tenfold increase in new puppies primarily in kittens, mm-hmm. Coming into the practice during these times for various reasons. We've talked about those in the past. But kudos to most of our clients for taking care of their pets during this time, whether it's catching them up on wellness procedures, whether it's not catching them up, but maintaining those yearly schedules, which are so important to keeping their pet healthy, or taking care of the sick pet, whether it was a minor injury or illness or a major injury illness as well. So I definitely wanted to kind of give a shout out to our clients and thank them for being awesome clients. But I also wanted to give a big shout out to our staff, because all of our core values, which are, you know, eye care, innovation, caring, accountability, respect, and engagement, they have lived those core values during this time. And we haven't really had to talk much about them. We've just kind of shown up and, you know, had our huddle in the morning and come up with a good game plan and, you know, push the end of rounds dinger bell and off we go. Mm-hmm. So super proud. I always, you know, tend to get a little emotional talking about the staff, which I'm not going to this morning, but they are awesome. And, you know, we hopefully showed a little bit of appreciation to them with our Christmas dinners that we had and, you know, some gifts and some praise as well. So,
well, if I can share my thoughts on this part of the article, if you don't mind. So to your point, the title of the article is Veterinarian Seeks Patience from Clients. And so I absolutely get that. I have participated in many webinars, industry related, where, you know, you have quote unquote leaders of practices or leaders of the industry coming together and telling you as a leader, essentially, of your clinic or your practice, how you should, allow your staff self-care and basically put your clients second. And I very much disagree with that. I think that there is a way that we can put our staff and our clients in a very same level playing field. We allow our staff the time off that they need. You know, we're not asking them to work any more hours than they used to work. We're not asking them to work harder. We're just trying to create new, innovative, and efficient ways to do things differently. And as you've said, our staff has been able to do that. And I guess I'll pat you and myself on the back a little bit. I do think it kind of comes from the top down. I think we discussed, we had a plan, we put our plan into action. If it didn't work, then we adjusted and modified mm-hmm. the plan. I think some of these other practices where I'm listening to these quote unquote industry leaders, and they're talking about how they've got clients just beating up their staff, telling them off and
using the F word, all this crazy stuff.
And I'm like, where is this at? Because I don't see this. Is it an approach? Is it that we're not communicating efficiently or effectively with those people? Like, were they not given expectations when they made their appointment? That kind of thing. It has never been our motto as a business or a practice to put our burdens onto clients.
Yeah.
And so whether somebody calls out that day, we're never going to tell a client, like, I'm sorry, we're working with only three people and we usually have six. So I'm sorry, your wait time's going to be 2 hours longer.
Yeah.
It's not appropriate.
Yeah, we can't get you in. You need to go to the ER. We can't.
These emergency practices that I've sat in and listened, they're turning people away because they're not true emergencies. They're trying to not overburden their staff. And to me, it's a leadership problem.
Yeah, it's the wrong way to do business.
If there's, you know, not enough staff to help and happen, you know, deal with what's going through the door, then you need to have more staff.
It's a culture
and
thing.
And so it's kind of this kind of thing just kind of gets me on a little teeter totter, right? Because like I see where they're coming from, but at the same time, like that's not what happens here. So I don't really understand it.
And so,
but I think it's multifocal, right? It's well-rounded because our clients aren't that way. We might have one out of 1,000 that gets upset, and kind of yells at the staff or whatever, but they're, you know, discussed with, they're not whatever. Correct. And the staff understands the whole situation, right?
Maybe it's not about me. Maybe the client's having a bad day, and exactly. We don't know what's going on in their life. And so, yes, it's multifactorial. Let me interrupt because, you know, speaking like to the telemedicine and you know, how to deliver this curbside. So here we are 8-9 months beyond that. Mm-hmm. We've actually, as a group of clinics, we've evolved. We've moved away from a lot of the things that we were. I guarantee we were some of the first handful of clinics doing things the way we did with our telemedicine.
Of course.
Bringing clients virtually into the exam room. You know, BI, we've got videos out there where they came and shot a video of our process.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, maybe patting, I guess, us on the back as leaders, but also our staff members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, early on, our receptionist did not get up from their seat because the phone was ringing so much. And our patient care people, since we weren't boarding patients, they became our runners, our
pet concierge,
if you will. And they did an awesome job.
Mm-hmm.
And man, they were busy back and forth. And so now we've moved away from that. Now our receptionists are going out and getting the animals. You know, they're kind of getting back into a little more of a traditional role, and mm-hmm. yet, you know, the checkout process has completely changed, and the forward booking process has completely changed. So yes.
But with that being said, we've also added 12 staff members since May. And so, you know, there's some natural attrition that happens there with people who have left or people who have felt uncomfortable working during a corona pandemic and that kind of thing. But at the same time, again, patting myself so hard on the back, and you, I guess, it's like this is where these other practices, I think, fail, or why there's a need for, you know, articles to come out for veterinarians to seek patients from their clients. It's like,
yeah,
the leadership in those practices, it's all self-centered. It's about them. It's not about the bigger picture. It's not being about the client or the patient, because if the client and the patient can't come to you as a veterinarian and ask you a question or depend on you when their pet is sick, where are they going to go? Because in 6 months, these same people are going to be complaining that there's wellness clinics popping up, or that people are seeking, you know, Dr. Google information. But really, we've done that to them as an industry because we're turning them away.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I don't.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. So, you know.
Sorry, I get a little heated.
Yeah.
Angry.
Well, we'll just keep our, you know, keep our focus, keep our
nose to the grindstone,
and keep doing what we do, attracting the type of clients that appreciate what we do.
Yes.
You know, that are a good fit, and continue to attract employees the same way. So, yeah, we kind of went off on a tangent there, but I think it was a good tangent to go off on. And
But that being said, everyone should have patience and understanding during this time, right?
Well,
so,
sure. So
let's go back to Christmas. So we just had our Christmas holiday, and my family, we actually had a flight scheduled to leave on Christmas Day to go surprise some family members.
Yep.
And 2 days before, our flight was canceled, and from Delta, which, thank you, Delta. I definitely am upset
normally
about
it. Normally a big fan, but not today.
Yeah, and I'm typically upset about it, but I mean, I'm not going to call them up and complain and tell them off and whatever. Like, I understand. I would really like to know a little bit more about why.
Why, yeah.
You know, to have a better understanding or to be a little bit more okay
with
it.
Sure, are you condensing 8 flights into 1?
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe a little more of a statement.
But, you know,
but
it's like, it didn't happen the way I wanted it to, and I get it. There's a lot going on. There's greater, you know, forces involved here with government restrictions and that kind of thing. So I'm not going to march down to Atlanta and bang on Delta's door just to tell them off, which I think is where some people do go. And I do think clients sometimes do throw little hissy fits when they don't get things exactly the way that they want. But as I said, if I had known why, it wouldn't bother me. And so that is what we try to teach our staff. Be transparent. Let clients understand what's happening. Give them expectations.
Communicate, yes.
If you tell them that their wait is going to be 5 minutes and it turns into an hour and 5, of course they're going to be upset.
I went like
if
a month.
Tell them it's going to be an hour and it's 45, they're going to be ecstatic.
Yeah. I went probably a month ago and to an urgent care, and they said, yes, I called. Yes, come on in. We can see you. We'll have an exam done. I wanted to be tested for corona antigen and antibody. I waited 2 hours in the lobby.
That's frustrating.
Yes, there was nothing else going on except I saw, you know, the two people ahead of me go through the door, and there was no sense of urgency. It was all on their time, not on mine. And I eventually got seen, and fortunately I didn't have to be anywhere. But yes, it was a little bit frustrating. Did I understand? Yes. But was I wowed by the experience? Absolutely not.
Right.
So, okay. So we beat that one
moving on
pretty well.
Chop chop.
I don't know. You know, there was a brief article about a veterinarian who was, I think maybe the veterinarian got scammed on trying to get a new puppy over the internet. So definitely be very, very careful in our area of the company, or the country rather. The puppy selling business is huge, and we are seeing clients come in that have purchased pets from
astronomical pet stores
in the area or from the internet for more money than I would have ever imagined. And a lot of these pets are medical train wrecks. So do
likely coming from puppy mills. I mean, if we're being honest.
Yeah, yeah.
But there have been lots of people who also, you know, have sought breeders and kind of vetted those things.
Sure,
and so that's,
sure.
I think that's where this article is going. So I guess
my 2 points,
be cautious about scams.
Internet, no matter what you're buying, right? If you're buying it from Amazon, you probably are in pretty good shape, right? You should feel pretty good. And if you're not satisfied, you can send it back. Be careful buying a pet over the internet, period.
Of course.
And then be careful at these pet stores, the medical and potential surgical problems now and in the future due to poor breeding habits, I'm going to say. You may not know what you're getting yourself in for. We actually have one client that actually knew that she was getting a problem, and she paid a lot of money for a couple of problem children.
Well, because she felt like she was helping and saving these animals.
Yeah, she felt so sad for them, and that's very honorable.
I mean, it is. It's so cyclical, right? So because she did that, she helped those pets, but then she made space for more.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I don't know what happens in pet stores if the puppy gets too old to be adopted. I don't know. Does it go back and turns into a breeder? I have no idea.
I don't want to know. I don't think.
I don't really want to know either. I do wish, this is where I envy California and some of those other states that like breeding animals and whatever were a little bit more controlled.
Yeah.
Because I think Georgia has a long way to go with it.
Well, yeah, we have the whole, you know, stray, homeless, pet, local issue.
Yeah.
And then now we're talking about a completely different issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I somewhat have thoughts, but I don't know what the regulations are on the, I'm going to say the pet trade business. But that would be something to maybe look into
and
maybe even our parent organization, AVMA or GVMA, some bigger organization than you and I could maybe look to regulate that industry a little bit more. So
I think it's at a state level, to be quite honest with you, because I do know like in California a couple of years back they passed that you're not allowed to sell pets in pet stores. And
yeah,
I do think that's some of that would go away. And I do think some puppy mills would obviously go out of business if they didn't have an outlet for them.
I think that's recent, or if not in California, then I've heard that within the last month or two.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about it. Like Michigan did that. California did that. We've talked about it on the podcast about a year ago. So, again, Georgia's slow in a lot of aspects when it comes to regulating things like this. Respectfully, I understand, right? Because you don't want your state telling you how to breathe and live.
Yeah.
But there are some things I wish we'd be a little bit more aggressive about.
Yeah. I'm going to say this last story about the Merrima dogs for next episode.
Okay.
Merrima or Merrim... Merimano, Merimano, is a type of sheepdog that's doing some really cool things in Victoria that we'll talk about briefly on the next episode.
Okay, cool. So that means I'll go ahead and sign us out.
Yes,
check
please.
In next week, guys, as we discuss more in the news and in our industry, and obviously give our opinions on everything.
Yeah.
That's why you're listening, right? Of course, duh. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and then check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Please hit subscribe or download this podcast wherever you're listening. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.